We are a nation of dog lovers, with almost 70% of households owning a pet pooch. But despite the puppy love, a new survey has found we're fed up with owners who refuse to mop up their mutt's mess. Isn't that right? 90% of Australians want dog owners to do a better job cleaning up their dog's business. You see, the problem is dogs are allowed to get into more places than ever before. They get into pubs, they get into Bunnings. They get into places that they wouldn't normally be seen in. And so therefore, when the dog does its business and owners refuse to do their business, well, that's what happens. We end up walking in it. The survey was commissioned by News Corp to launch their new online hub showcasing news and information about dogs. Now, Ryan and Jen Tate are real-life Dr. Doolittles and ambassadors for dogsofoz.com.au, dogsofoz.com.au. They have 20 years' experience dealing with troublesome terriers, cunning cavoodles, and difficult Dalmatians. Oh, don't you love the alliteration? Thomas, you've outshone yourself. Ryan joins me on the line right now. G'day there, Ryan.
G'day, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Do you think the owners of dogs are doing a good enough job with cleaning up after their pet pooch?
No, and I have a theory as to why this is still an ongoing problem, and I think it revolves around people not having their dogs on lead because they haven't taught them how to walk on lead well. And so what happens is your dog pulls or your dog tangles up on lead and it becomes an unpleasant experience. So it's easy just to have the dog off lead roaming around. And then when the dog is 10 metres behind you and conveniently poos on your neighbour's lawn, you don't notice it. So whereas if the dog was attached to you on a 1.2 metre lead walking by your side at heel, you've got nowhere to go but to pick up that poo before you move on.
Yes, that's a really good theory, and I can understand why that would happen. You're quite right. Now, you've trained big and small animals for 20 years combined. Which animal is the easiest to train? Which is the most difficult to train?
Well, I think I worked with marine mammals for a very long time. For 13 years, I worked in various places training seals in particular, and I found them incredibly eager to learn. They have a huge appetite, so you can work with food all day, and even when they're full, they still think they want more. So seals are very, very easy to train, and I think most people would agree with me when they say cats. Cats are very tricky to train. Once they decide they've had enough, they give you the flick and off they go.
They're arrogant, aren't they?
They can be, yeah.
Arrogant cats. That's exactly right. I'm glad you said that. And so in terms of breeds of dogs, there must be easier ones to train and difficult ones too.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're hoping to get across in the Dogs of Oz campaign is that when people are selecting a dog, whether they're getting it from a rescue or a pound type organisation or they're getting it through a breeder, is to look beyond the aesthetics of the dog. A small dog doesn't necessarily equate to low energy outputs or an easier dog to look after. So, you know, two very popular breeds in the Dachshund and the Jack Russell Terrier are two small dogs that don't behave like small dogs. They've got big dog personality. They've got a lot of confidence. They'll bark, they'll chase things. And, you know, people are often taken by surprise when they get these beautiful, cute little Jack Russell Terriers that turn into terriers very quickly. So we encourage people to really research the breed and make sure that suits their lifestyle. So if you work long hours and you don't have a lot of energy yourself and you want a small dog, instead of perhaps getting a Jack Russell, you might consider something like the King Charles Cavalier, which was literally bred to keep the laps of royalty warm. So they are the perfect dog that you just want to curl up on your lap and keep you warm all day instead of trying to kill everything that moves around your house.
That's a really good summary of the personality. And they all have different personalities, dog
Absolutely.
Breeds, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly breeds that are social butterflies. So all the dogs that fit into what we'd call the gun dog category, so your Labradors, your Retrievers and Spaniels, they are much more dog and people social sort of centric creatures, whereas then we might get more primitive breeds like the Shiba Inu, which is a little bit more aloof and a bit probably a little bit more cat-like in their personality. So if you don't want a dog that's going to be all over you all the time, one of those more primitive breeds might suit you. But if you want something that is going to join you at every pub and house party all around town, then those gun dogs, like your typical Labradors, are just those perfect social butterflies.
You made headlines during the bushfire crisis for using a detection dog to find injured koalas. Wow.
That's correct. Yeah, this is actually, it's something that's, it's been going on for a pretty long time. I'm not the first person to do it, and I'm certainly won't be the last. But when the bushfires ripped through my hometown of Port Macquarie, we knew we had to get out there on the front line, and Jen had actually, she'd just literally given birth to our twin daughters at the time. Yeah. And in between running back and forth from the hospital, yeah, myself and one of my main detection dogs were working all around Port Macquarie and Kempsey and Taree, and then eventually much further south into the Snowies, locating koalas. But the koala is a very distinct smelling animal, and for the detection dogs, it's actually quite an easy animal to find. So it's a perfect use to very quickly locate these animals and remove them out of harm's way.
That's great. That's fantastic. Just in terms of you and Jen, you met at a very appropriate place, Ryan.
Taronga Zoo in Sydney. Yeah, yeah. So Jen was working with Australian mammals and I was working with all the marine animals. And yeah, that's where we first met each other there. And we worked out that we lived only a couple of streets away from each other, and one thing led to another, and I chipped away at her, and eventually, yeah, she let me take her out on a date.
Good story. Great story. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's all good. Well done for what you've done during the bushfire crisis, and good luck what you're doing with all those cunning cavoodles and troublesome terriers. All the very best, Ryan. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having us on, Chris.
No problem. Ryan Tate is his name.